Hey guys, welcome to the Paddler's Playbook, a kayak fishing experience. Today the guys are joined by Chad Hoover from KSS and KBF. The guys discuss Chad's new kayak saltwater series, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the paddle.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Podcast Land. I'm your host, Drew Turner. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Lewis, and this is another edition of the Paddler's Playbook. I hope you guys made it through Thanksgiving okay. I hope everybody's not too stuffed from all the turkey.
I'm still stuffed, man.
Hope everybody didn't spend too much money for Black Friday. Did you find any Black Friday deals out there, Chris?
I am 100% against Black Friday shopping, sir. However, I do love me some Cyber Monday, and that's coming up here tomorrow, the day that we're going to drop this, man. We're going to drop this on Cyber Monday.
The only thing I really saw that I wanted was Kyle posted the flamethrower on the Bro Staff page.
Yeah. How about that, man? That's like the Turbo Flamethrower 6000.
It said it could shoot a flame up to 25 feet.
Yeah, and your old lady's like, I need one of those in my life.
Oh, yeah. She would kill me with it.
For what reason? Spiders?
Singe my beard off. My beard would be gone. I don't have any hair on my head, but my beard would just be a shriveled mess if she had a flamethrower.
Kids are cleaning their room, but Jess is running around with freaking flamethrower like, you better get that shit picked up.
There would be no squirrels in our backyard messing with her bird feeders. I guarantee that. The neighborhood may be burned down, but there'd be no squirrels.
The homeowners association would give y'all a call.
I'm sure they would. The flamethrower was out there. But we also have, you know, we have some stuff for sale. We still have the Bro Staff stickers. Those are for sale on the Facebook page. And we also have some cool new tumblers. You guys need to check out the tumblers. They're pretty sweet. They're laser etched. I have a guy that is collaborating with me. He is a kayaker. He is a firefighter. He is a solid dude. He is making those for us. So if you want to check those out, those are $35 and they are on the Facebook page as well. Chris, you have yours. I have mine. Have you enjoyed some, you know, nice whiskey out of yours
actually,
yet?
No whiskey. I do not. we won't talk about whiskey. But there's been some arguments in the house as to who's going to grab it next. So, it's whoever grabs it first gets to use it that day. But here we go. You know, you were talking about this product is coming from an individual. It's not coming from a company. So, I'd like to pin that for a second because one of our episodes here coming up pretty soon is going to be about small business and supporting small business. And I think folks should really key in on the fact that this is an individual that these are coming from. You know, I like that you mentioned that, Drew, because I'm a big proponent for small business, especially in times and days like we're experiencing right now where small business is suffering. So folks, you know, throwing $45 at a tumbler is not only going to help, you know, the Paddler's Playbook, it's honestly going to go a lot further than that.
It'll be $35.
Oh, 35. 40, okay.
45 will get you two stickers and the tumbler. Actually, you know what? 40. We'll do 40. $40 will get you two Bro Staff stickers and the tumbler shipped to your door. Pyro Custom Coatings. We're going to talk a little bit more about them on episode coming up, but they're the ones doing it. Sammy Ray Designs. They did our stickers. They're another, you know, local business here in the Houston area in spring. We like to keep everything local as much as we can. And like Chris said, we're going to talk about some local for us businesses. Guys, get on the Facebook page. Tell us about some local businesses in your area that other guys need to check out that we can hop on their website and order some stuff. You know, let the whole Bro Staff community go to these type of businesses and check them out.
Dude, I'm in the market for some canvas work right now, and I've got to find somebody that can do it for me. And I could go to Shutterfly or, you know, one of these other, you know, large companies. But why not find somebody local that can do it for me? I'd love that.
Well, we want our businesses to be local, but on this episode, we have a guest that is doing something on the national level. The new Kayak Saltwater Series is what we are going to talk about today with Chad Hoover. This is going to be a national tournament, challenge, both, everything.
Okay, so you can call it national, but it's actually, it's an event that's going to be broken up regionally. It's along the Gulf Coast and Eastern Coast. I don't think there's anything that is popping for the West Coast in regards to the KSS or the Kayak Saltwater Series. It's mainly Gulf Coast and East Coast.
There's been a buzz about it on Facebook, on Instagram, but we are going to hear from the man himself, Chad Hoover, to talk about KSS in just a second. But first, Jessica, what kind of stuff do we have on this, you know, shopping season from Real Sportswear and ACK?
Hey, bro staff, are you feeling the holiday pressure and just wish you had more days to take advantage of some deep discount? How about a whole week of 30 to 50% off? Do I have your attention? Then hop on over to realsportswear.com and shop for the angler in your life without destroying your wallet. Explore must-have fishing shirts, best-selling fishing shorts, headwear, and outerwear. Dress your friends and family in what the guides wear for Christmas. And they don't even know you didn't have to pay full price at realsportswear.com. So look, while I have your attention with amazing discounts, let me make your season just a little brighter. ACK is all about extending their Black Friday sales to all week on brands like NRS, Boardworks, and Perception, and so much more. So log on to AustinKayak.com and knock some people off your nice list. While you're in there, buy yourself something because, well, it's your money and you do what you want. Stay on the nice list, bro staff, and stay classy this holiday season. I'm Saltside Jess, reminding you that you're only as good as your last Christmas present.
All right, guys, we are joined now by Mr. KBF himself, Chad Hoover. But KBF isn't what we're talking about today. We are talking about the new Kayak Saltwater Series with Mr. Chad. Chad, tell us a little bit, what inspired you guys? I know there was a KBF Redfish event, a few of them. What inspired you to go full throttle now with this KSS? And tell us a little bit more about it.
So a lot of people don't realize it, but I actually started in saltwater. I got into kayak fishing in Corpus Christi when I was in the Navy down there. And kayak fished all over the country. You know, being in the Navy, you're pretty well coastal most of your career. And so between Corpus Christi and California and Florida and the vast majority of the time in Virginia, I did a lot of saltwater fishing. And back then, all of the kayak fishing forums were saltwater. And every now and then they would put a freshwater topic at the bottom of the page, or they would put like one board called freshwater fishing. So ironically enough, the way KBF started was I was complaining at a meeting that why doesn't somebody start a kayak bass fishing page? I mean, I love to saltwater fish, but I also like to bass fish. But it feels like we're the redheaded stepchildren if we're the bottom page on the bottom page of the bottom page.
Oh, the tables have turned.
So I made a joke about it and said, somebody should start a kayak bass fishing page. And the guy that I was sitting there talking to looked over and said, why don't you start it? And I said, I don't know how to build a website, which, by the way, I still don't know how to build a website. Still don't know anything about it. I have to have people to do that stuff. Right. So I said, I don't know how to do that. So he went and said, well, I just checked and kayakbassfishing.com is available. Do you want it? I said, sure, I'll take it. So I gave him the money and then he paid with his credit card, registered the site in my name. And then we just basically started building the site up. Initially had a forum, did some online challenges. And I had done the saltwater thing. I helped start Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association. I was a tournament director for the Extreme Edge Kayak Fishing Series. I was down in Texas. I fished the Jax Classic quite a few times, fished Jamaica Bay up in New York. I won the Jamaica Bay tournament 1 year, won TKA that same year, and then finish like third or fourth in the Jacks tournament, and just really realized, like, man, there's a lot of saltwater tournaments. Somebody needs to do a freshwater one. So I lived in Virginia, and this is going to be a little bit of history on KBF as well that I probably have never shared. I wanted to do tournaments in Virginia, but Virginia Department of Game, Land, Inland Fisheries doesn't allow tournaments on VGDIF lakes. So back then, Road Rules and whatever that movie, whatever that show on MTV where they all lived in one house was kind of like the original.
Real World.
Real World turned into a show called something, the Challenge Series, right? And I went, oh, I like that name, the Challenge. It's a challenge to get out there and see if you can fish against other anglers. And the theory of a tournament was like back then, well, still is, a tournament is everybody fishing against each other on the same body of water. I said, so what if there was a challenge where you could go out and fish against anybody at any time, anywhere, and let's just see how that goes. Plus, if I called it a challenge, it wasn't a tournament, so therefore I wasn't breaking Virginia law.
Yeah.
Bounced it off of some of the Virginia guys, and they're like, well, I don't know. It says in the rules, any tournament that offers money. And I said, but does it say any challenge that offers money? The guy goes, no, but if you're competing for money, it's a tournament. I said, no, it's not, because your definition of a tournament is specifically says hosting an event on a body of water. And their rules I used against them. And so they never changed the rules. So I kind of slid in that gray area. So we started the Challenge Series. Challenge Series did really well. And then there was a cry out for, oh, we got to do a live tournament. So we did a live tournament. The first one in Sandy Cooper, South Carolina. We did the second one in Sandy Cooper, South Carolina. Went to Tennessee after I retired from the Navy. Knew that there was like five lakes around me that were world class, and any one of them could have been the place that I chose. But I chose to go to Kentucky Lake because it was more West Tennessee, which put us in more in the central part of the country, closer to Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and all that. So we chose Kentucky Lake, me being really central to the U.S. Did the third KBF Open ever on Kentucky Lake. The next year, people were like, man, we got to do something bigger. And the national championship was born. We just had our fifth national championship. And the 2 years ago, three years ago, somebody came to me and said, dude, you came from redfish tournaments. This thing with the IFA is falling apart. There's nothing really out there. There's little individual clubs, but you need to do something on the national level. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't have the money to invest because I'm already upside down so big in KBF that it's going to take me three or four more years to dig out. But I'll create a KBF Redfish series. And if it does well, then we'll invest in it. So we do it last year. We do it again this year. COVID's really a hard year to gauge things by because you don't know what the hell is upside down, sideways, or backwards with COVID. But what I decided to do is to go to the championship that we hosted in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and just sit down with the anglers. So I sat down with the anglers. I bought them all an appetizer and a beer, which, by the way, if you ever want to truly understand what anglers really think, buy them a beer and food, and then the floodgates open. So I bought them all a beer and an appetizer, and I said, or a drink and an appetizer. I said, so tell me why we're not having more success with the KBF Redfish series. Should I just kill it? Or should I, is there something we're doing wrong? And literally when I said, should I kill it? Every head snapped and like, no, dude, don't kill it. I'm like, well, I can't keep going when I'm getting 30 something people at the final shootout and the national championship combined. That's just not going to work. The trophies cost me more than the entry fees for everybody coming here, you know? And the trophies cost me more than we actually got in Redfish people memberships. So I said, look, here's my constraints. And I said, but what do we need to do to make it work? Let's just take everything off the table and say, if you're going to do it right. And the first person who commented said, well, it just sucks because we go to the kayak bass fishing page and there's like 4,000 bass fishing comments to every one redfish comment. You got to scroll to the bottom of the page to find anything about redfish. And I'm not kidding you. I went, like, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was like, wow, that is literally almost verbatim what I said the other way around. So I kind of knew where the angler was coming from. I said, okay, I get it. But what about the IFA? The reason that I've steered clear of trying to do a full-on series is because I don't want to step on toes. There's already a professional series out there, and guys just kind of opened up the floodgate complaining about what the IFA wasn't what they wished it would be, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, all right, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to separate it. I need your commitment that you're going to help us grow memberships. You're going to help us grow sponsorships. You're going to comment, share. You're going to go grab, you know, groups and try to bring people in. And every one of the guys at that table were like, hell yeah, dude, we're in. And I was like, all right, well, let me think about it tonight and tomorrow. That was at the Friday tournament. I said, let's think about it. Let me think about tonight and tomorrow I'll have some ideas. So I went home, looked up URLs that were available, and Kayak Saltwater Series was available. So I grabbed it. I went to Instagram and Facebook, and both of them were available. So I grabbed them. I texted Joe and said, hey, I need you to knock out a logo for me. So he did. I called Amanda, who runs our tournament stuff on the KBF side, and I said, hey, what do you think about breaking this completely out, calling it the KSS? It's a little bit of Keep It Simple Stupid. It's a little bit of Kiss. It's a little bit of, you know, it doesn't have.
Oh, yeah. I can see people running around just calling it Kiss all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't have an F in it. I almost did kayak saltwater fishing, but that, ironically enough, that URL was not available when I started KSS 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, I was on the computer checking something, and, you know, GoDaddy does this thing where, like, if you ever looked for a URL, it'll
somebody try to sell it to you.
It'll notify you, hey, the URL that you looked for is now available. And I thought it was going to be one of these broker deals where they tried to sell it to me for like $35,000 or something.
Right, right.
But it was basically just letting me know it was available. So I was like, well, hold up. And I clicked in, and it was like $8.33 for a year. I was like, add the protection. Checked out for $9.50 or something.
So now you own KSF as well?
I grabbed Kayak Saltwater Fishing yesterday. Awesome. So, ironically enough, I have literally said to myself, and I've said publicly, that what we did with KBF was try to be the powder keg moment to light the game for kayak fishing on fire. We did that with the $100,000 payout. We've done that with events like the 10. And so when I decided to name it KSS, or I was going to get the feedback, the guys loved it. They're like, hell yeah, it's like Kiss, man. I love it. I was like, all right, so what do you guys think we should do like KBF? And what do you think we should do different than KBF? They're like, well, I think we should do a 10. That 10 is like the jam. I was like, all right, well, just so you know, we're in our fifth year of doing that, and we've built it up. So if you try to compare apples to apples, you can't really do that, because we can't just go to paying out, you know, $35,000 to 10 people that don't pay an entry fee and paying all their expenses. I said, so what if we just started it with the $10,000 guarantee? And they were like, sounds good to me. I'm like, you do realize, though, that's 10 guys fishing for two days for 10 fish, winner take all. There is no deal making. There is not, like, the winner wins $10,000 and everybody else wins nothing. That's the drama for the first year. After that, we start working on second and third and all that. They're like, do we love it? So we talked about the time frame. We talked about setting everything up. We talked about the fact that in the first year I did it in the same place with KBF. I did the first three national championships back to back to back in the same location to kind of get our feet under us before we started worrying about moving it around. All the guys were like, hey, man, whatever you got to do it. So I called three sponsors. First three sponsors I called, I said, hey, I need to scrub together enough to cover my $10,000 guarantee and the expenses to get there. So it's about, you know, $15,000 total to pull that event off, non-televised. And what do you think? They're like, you're starting a saltwater series? And I was like, yeah. They're like, we're in. I was like, do you want to hear anything about it? They're like, is it going to be even close to KBF? I said, yeah. They're like, all right, we're in. So I got three sponsors, locked them in, built the membership portal, because people were literally on the page going, when can I join? When can I join? When can I join? So we built the KSS membership portal before we built the KBF one, got them all ready to go, launched them both at the same time. And right now, KSS membership is on pace. I think it's 20 less members total that have subscribed, that have, you know, bought their membership than KBF. And so we kind of know we're on to something. I love saltwater fishing. Like I said, there's a speckled trout right there over my shoulder. There's a cobia on the floor right there. I've got two redfish in storage. I've caught a buttload of tarpon from a kayak, a bunch of big redfish, you know, several cobia, lots of sharks. I used to be obsessed with chasing big specks. When I started doing the TV thing, I knew bass was the bigger market, and I knew that's where I could get, you know, better sponsorships, and I knew that's where the real opportunity for growth was in the industry. I also knew I wanted to retire in Tennessee so that I could be centrally located to everything. And I knew that it would be hard for me to spearhead a saltwater series until I had some credibility and had my feet under me and all that. Plus, at that time, there was a lot of stuff that was disjointed in the saltwater fishing community. There was everything was Ride the Bull was big. IFA was getting bigger. Some clubs like Bayou Coast and Low Country and Mark Patterson out with out of North Carolina, Rob Alderman, some of the guys up in New England.
Bayou Coast throwing some love to Louisiana.
Everybody was doing really good things. So what was needed in freshwater fishing at the time wasn't needed in saltwater fishing. Saltwater fishing was actually more mature, quicker, in that it had clubs running great events. You know, I fished with the Bayou Coast guys back forever ago. I did a seminar at Pack and Paddle in Lafayette, and between Bayou Coast and Lafayette Kayak, the Lafayette Kayak Club, they packed the place out. It was freaking awesome. I'm from Louisiana, so I lived there. I was in Texas for 6 years of my Navy career. Both of my kids were born in Corpus, so I have a huge affinity for saltwater fishing. And ironically enough, my wife started working on getting the tourism stuff together for the bass series, and all of the coastal areas were wanting to do tournaments, but we didn't have a really mature redfish series. So when we put the redfish series together, even the tourism bureaus were like, so let me get this straight. It's the kayak bass fishing redfish tour. And I was like, yeah, my argument was this. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm like, do you hunt? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you ever bought hunting stuff at Bass Pro Shop? They're like, yeah. I'm like, you don't say to yourself, I'm not buying hunting stuff there because it's got bass in the name. But when you've got to take that much time to explain it, it's better off to just separate it. And to be honest with you, it allows us to separate the sponsorships. It allows us to separate the series. It allows us to separate the recognition. I want a KSS AOI that gets as much respect in the saltwater crowd as the KBF AOI does in the freshwater community. I don't want it to be like it's the other, oh, it's the redfish division. It's the redheaded stepchild division. So, man, we're going to go hard. And really, it's already, the timing is perfect because we just got to the point where we backed off on the number of KBF events that we did because Hobie BOS was filling a big part of that void. Bass Nation Kayak Series was filling a big part of that void. And to be honest with you, if I kept trying to do more and more tournaments, it was going to hurt our numbers. It was going to hurt their numbers. And it was going to basically make the sport look like it wasn't growing. And now that there's two major organizations other than KBF carrying that torch, I am allowed to now switch my focus and focus on growing the saltwater as hard as I grew the freshwater side. And I've got a great staff and a great team that helps me do that. Great sponsorship support. Not one sponsor bailed on us 100% in COVID, which is like unreal. There are some that didn't pay on time. There's some that still haven't paid that are going to pay right after the first of the year. But the fact that they stayed committed and said, you know, we want to be on board. If you work with us to get through this, we're going to be there. It was huge for us and huge for a little ragtag kayak fishing thing that they didn't, we weren't the first thing that they cut. You know what I mean? So the foundation is set. I think that KSS could be as big as KBF. It could be bigger, you know, because the saltwater ratio of guys who are interested in fishing in tournaments is a lot higher than it is in freshwater, in my opinion. In other words, there's more freshwater anglers, right? There's almost four times as many bass anglers as saltwater anglers. But I would say probably 15 to 20% of the bass anglers even have an interest in fishing tournaments. It's probably closer to 50, 65% of saltwater anglers are like, hell yeah, I'm in.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you bring this up because I know that Drew and I have talked about it before and it's come up on different podcasts. Why aren't there those big purses available for the saltwater guys? Part of the problem is that we can't draw the support from sponsors to bring that money to the table. And a lot of times it's because we're dominated by a bait fishery, right? We're dominated by fishermen that fish with bait. And the tournament side of things, sure, we have a lot of artificial only tournaments, but we have a lot of bait tournaments too. And a lot of the guys that fish tournaments will fish the bait tournaments for a purse.
Well, and two, you're talking about we're dominated by bait. That's mainly for the casual fishermen is what you're saying. The casual fishermen, the casual sector, they're dominated by bait. The guys
we might have double the numbers of saltwater fishermen, but when it comes down to tournament time, those guys that fish the bait, live bait, they can't really participate in these artificial only tournaments. I mean, they can, but they're the casual fishermen. They're the weekend warriors. They're the guys that are going out there and they're a boat that stays in storage, you know, 50% of the time throughout the year. And they go out there and spend their $40 on shrimp, 2 dozen shrimp.
Yeah. And there's only so much that you can advertise as far as kale hooks and barrel weights and hooking up your Carolina rig with your shrimp from the bait camp. But, you know, Chris, you're right. We've talked about that before with the bait. But I want to ask you really quick before we get too far into this, Chad. So
I'll be real quick before you go away from that. Just like on the bass fishing side, there's enough anglers to make a successful professional tour. There's enough to make a successful kayak fishing professional.
Sure, you're making it national.
Like, with boom, there being an IFA that has a successful boat fishing tournament series, and in my opinion, always kind of treated the kayak fishing series as an afterthought. They always got to fish the already been fished water. It's like they chewed a piece of gum all weekend and said, here, you want this? You know, there's barely any flavor left, but if you want it.
That's great. So
to me, we just haven't done a good enough job of uniting with a national vision to grow it. But I think there's plenty. I think there's plenty of anglers.
I think so, too. There's guys out there that are hungry for it, man. And we talk about it all the time. The guys that tournament fish on a regular basis. See, I'm the guy that's out there tournament fishing as often as I possibly can. And just for the competition, because you know what? I can't play football anymore. I can't play baseball. I can't do those activities that make me really freaking active. You know, and I might break a bone or some shit. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get out there and fish. And I get to compete as my 43-year-old self against guys that are, you know, half my age and guys that are twice my age. And it's fun. It's pretty lively most of the time. But it's
you're talking all that smack wearing a Flash Gordon shirt. You know what I mean? It's kind of...
Flash. Ah.
I wore a shirt like that one time and somebody said, man, you ain't the Flash. I said, no, I'm the grounding rod for lightning. That's what I
said. So, yeah. So, you know, it's but every event that we have locally, okay, our club events, there's always a handful of guys or maybe a couple dozen that are like, man, why can't we have larger purses? Well, you got to bring more money to the table, one. You got to have more people involved, two. And you got to have much larger sponsors bringing cash to the table as well. You start breaking that out into a national level, you know, where you guys are with KSS. And now, purses can start to add up, man.
Look, man, TKA has pushed 300 anglers every year that it's ever been in existence. Jamaica Bay used to push 500 or knocking
That's
on that
awesome.
Door. Jamaica Bay was always 350 to 400 and some change. Ride the Bull has been the biggest tournament in the world, right up there with the KBF National Championship.
Now, Ride the Bull, let's admit, is a little bit ludicrous.
It's different. Yeah.
It's an event.
It's still 700 and something people showing up in one place at one time with the express interest of promoting kayak fishing. It just is. You know, and to me, when the Boondoggles were going really well, I thought the Boondoggle was kind of the coolest thing in kayak fishing. And I'm going to bring that back this year with the KBF rallies. And I think I'm going to do the KSS rallies in the places where it's saltwater. That's basically like, hey, let's just get together. If you don't want to fish, you know, then don't have to. And honestly, you know, it's funny you mentioned the bait thing. I'm not going to do a bait category. because I think it's always silly to have subdivided when you already have kind of smaller numbers. But I'm going to do a couple of no holds barred saltwater
tournaments.
There you go. Just to grow the KSS brand and to grow awareness. And let's face it, if we start doing things like saltwater, you know, selfish shootouts and things like that, most of those guys are going to be putting a ballyhoo on their trolling rig or something like that anyway. So we're going to cross that line somewhere.
Offshore, you're definitely going to have to troll some dead bait or
something. Yeah. So again, I want to do some things like that. Just to do some, you know, some things that grab attention, some things that that raise the bar, but at the same time focus on developing the more professional series. The cool thing about the professional series is what we call it with KBF is that we have tiers. You have the trail series, that's your AOI competition that leads to the trail series championship, but you also have your entry level, just getting started, you know, casual series with the challenge series where you can just go out and fish on your time schedule at your pace in your waters, and you basically get to fish all month long. And with the new challenge functionality that we're introducing through Fishing Chaos, we've got the ability now to push hard and get, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000 people in those events, because before we didn't have the judging capacity to handle those kind of numbers. Now I can go out and market those events very heavily to get those high numbers because we know that the system can handle it. And with the challenge function, the crowd actually helps us with the judging. With the crowd helping us with the judging, we're going to have the analytics we need to go to sponsors to say, hey, this challenge series is generating, you know, 3 million, 5 million, 7 million views a year. And we know it is because it generated, you know, 3.2 million challenges last year or whatever. Those interactions are what you get the non-endemic sponsors attracted. You baseline it with your endemic sponsors. And then the really cool thing about separating it is that there's some sponsors that have actually expressed interest in working with us in the past, but they're more of a saltwater company, but they had a little freshwater section. But then we've got a lot of sponsors that are very heavy on both sides. And I got into a discussion with a sponsor who, you know, was trying to tell me that they were moving in another direction because they really wanted to focus on saltwater. But it was really more about they were focusing on growing, going a lot more left than the conservative base that I kind of serve. And I kind of knew what the writing on the wall was, so I didn't say anything. But they used the, you know, they kind of pussyfooted around by saying they wanted to go find somebody that didn't represent what I represented. But they used the we're going to focus on saltwater thing. Well, I'd already decided to do the KSS thing. You know, in one way or another, I was going to grow it, but I just said, okay, that sounds good. And I can't wait for the Toby Keith, how do you like me now, of that sponsor when we blow up the saltwater side. And they're like, well, I wish you would have told us. I'm like, yeah, I wish you wouldn't have thought about, you know, sponsoring a race car driver when you told me you didn't have any money. And, you know, so anyway, I may
know who you're talking about right there. may or may not know exactly who you're talking about.
The owner of the company passed away, who was really my biggest fan, used to write me a handwritten letter every year, which I thought was like awesome that a CEO of a company that, like, you could tell that the pen was shaking when she wrote it would take the time each year to write me a handwritten letter and send like a jacket or something. But anyway, it's one of those things where every time a door like that's ever closed in my career, it's opened up a bigger door. And so to me, right now, I'm sitting in the catbird seat. We, as a sport, are sitting at the catbird seat in that the non-endemics are just starting to get woken up to what kayak fishing is. I'm starting to get contacted by soap companies and beer companies and whiskey companies. And I had a smokeless tobacco company reach out to me. Their name is similar to what we fish out of, and they thought it would be a great fit, and it probably would have been, and most people would have just took the money and run. But for me, we're growing a youth series, we're growing a college series, we're doing some of those things. And so
don't need to really introduce tobacco into that.
You get into alcohol and tobacco and some of those other things, and you really just kind of, I think that you're stepping over a dollar to pick up a nickel in a lot of cases when you do a deal like that.
Bubba, I'm okay with you bringing the beer, guys. Come on.
Oh, I'm not opposed to it either. Yeah, for sure.
They can sponsor the Boondoggles, man.
Yeah.
Tobacco. I mean, we serve beer at the national championship. We ain't scared. I'm just saying it's a difference of sharing it and doing it responsibly than having it as the title sponsor of your organization with like Surgeon General's warnings in your marketing and stuff.
It's kind
of that's a little bit weird. But honestly, man, the KSS thing was born of the exact same thing KVF was born of, the same timing. Man, there's a frustration out there that there needs to be something better. There isn't really anything that is just for us. And you know, honestly, man, for the first couple of years, there was some friction between the Hobie tournament trail and our tournament trail. And it wasn't really as much between the leadership. It was more the people that wanted there to be a friction. And then to a certain extent, the guy that ran the trail and myself, even to a certain extent, bought into that a little bit, and we shouldn't have. But we're working together really well now. I work really well with AJ McWhorter, who runs the Hobie series, Steve Owens, who runs the Bass series. We actually coordinated schedules the best we could this year to avoid conflicts. And I think that's the way it should be. I think this BS that's going on between Bass and Major League Fishing and FLW and all that is a bunch of garbage. It's why I backed out of the FLW thing. But honestly, guys, I think that there is a lot of benefit from us doing the saltwater thing who are freshwater fish. I'll tell you, me being a freshwater fisherman made me a better saltwater angler. And me being a saltwater angler made me a better freshwater fisherman. I started fishing spinnerbaits in Corpus Christi in 96, and I was wearing redfish out. Now, I'm not saying I invented fishing for redfish with a spinnerbait, but back then there was nobody that I knew that was doing it. I did it because I was a broke-ass E5 in the Navy, and I had spinnerbaits. You know what I'm saying? And redfish were straightening out my raggedy-ass bass fishing baits that were, like, cheap. And so I contacted a company out of Bay City, Texas, who helped me.
That's where I'm from, baby.
Who helped me make a redfish spinnerbait out of a design that I came up with out of a bicycle spoke. Then they started selling them, and then they blew up. I was putting the Cuckoo Minnow from that company on these Colorado Blade spinnerbaits. And then
was it a Redfish Magic?
Well, it was pre-Redfish Magic. So, okay. Yeah, it's what became the Redfish Magic. It was H&H, I think, was the name of the company, H&H Coastal. Mm-hmm.
They're still around, yeah.
But, yeah, dude, they're still good. They're still good people, and like, dude, I destroyed it in saltwater. I think I was one of the first people to catch a cobia from the kayak. I know I was the first person in Virginia. At the time when I caught it, nobody could find anybody else that had caught one. I don't play the games of, like, accolades like that. I don't really care. I've caught a bunch of tarpon from the kayak. I caught a tarpon in Texas, and some writer did an article about it, put it on the Salty Angler magazine cover, which is now the Gulf Coast Connection. And the guy that owned the Salty Angler died about a couple years later. And I was catching tarpon on Padre Island National Seashore back when the biologists were saying I was lying because there weren't a tarpon there. And I was like, I took one of the writers out from one of the guys that called me a liar on corpusfishing.com. I said, why don't you meet me at Bob Hall Pier and we'll go catch a tarpon and then you can call me a liar. And so the whole time he was holding the tarpon that he caught, I was asking him, I was like, how does that imaginary tarpon feel? Like, how does it feel in your hands to be holding that imaginary tarpon? And
then is this what spurred the Chad Hoover competitions where you go and fight people for their fish in their own waters and then the loser has to shave their head?
I mean, I did something like that called the Backyard Beatdown for a long time. The
Backyard Beatdown.
Yeah.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're over here talking to Chad Hoover, and we're talking about KSS, the Kayak Saltwater Series. And, you know, what it really comes down to is educating our listeners, okay? Educating those folks that are just now getting involved in kayak fishing, also those that are just now getting involved with kayak tournaments, and then also the educated, well-rounded, seasoned professionals that are out there competing every day. What we want to do is we want to bring that KSS information to them. And so what we've done is we've gone to our Facebook listeners, our Facebook followers, and we've asked them a few questions. And we've got some response from those guys. And so what we're going to do is we're going to throw it to Drew real quick. Drew's got some of those questions that he wants to ask you. So that we make sure we have this stuff straight.
Yeah. So before we get into the rules and those questions, just really quick, December 1st starts the first challenge. The first challenge is a 5 redfish challenge. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the slot limit is, what's 16, the slot limit for that?
18 to 27, I believe.
18 to 27.
Okay. 18 to 27. Okay. My first question, and this is for me, how are you going to break ties? How is a tie broken? Because I can see over a month, a lot of anglers putting 5 27-inch redfish.
So what you have to realize is that if you catch a 27-inch redfish in catch, photo, release, it has to be exactly 27 inches, or it has to be between 26 and 3 quarters and 27. So it's actually impossible. It's almost impossible to put up an exact 27-incher. So realistically, what you're looking for is 5, 26 and 3 quarters. Every time we put up the redfish series before, on the when we were doing it as the KBF redfish series, that was the first thing that everybody said. And it only happened like 3 or 4 times. So there's a lot of smack talk about, oh, I'll put up 5, 26 and 3 quarters. And like, well, I'll tell you what, here's how I'm going to answer that question. Do it. And when it becomes a problem, we'll solve it. But right now, the way it works is it is big fish is the tiebreaker. So if you have 4 26 and 3 quarters and each of you have a 5th kicker, it's the biggest fish that isn't a tie. So it's your biggest fish that isn't tied. And then after that, it comes down to time submission. So basically your first tiebreaker is big fish. Your second tiebreaker is when you uploaded it. Now, what's going to come into play is when people start saying, oh, well, everybody's going to be able to limit out. If I can get this thing grown to the point where it's big enough, we're going to do a max out bonus. In other words, if you're saying, well, it sucks because, you know, somebody's going to do it and they're going to do it fast because they get off the first weekend, I can't fish to the third weekend. We've had every excuse, you know, under the sun. I think that if people spent as much time fishing as they did typing, they would catch more fish and half of the stuff would just work itself out. But I want to start working on a max out bonus. If you catch a fish and you max out, and it's legitimately maxed out, then you get a bonus. And then that bonus comes out of sponsor dollars, not out of the payout, so that the payout still stays the same. But to answer your question, it's big fish first, and then it's time of submission after that.
And the time of submission would be for the last fish, the fifth fish, right?
Yep. The time of submission would be your last fish, your fifth fish.
All right. And then my second question is, I was reading through the rules, and everything looks fine until I got to one part, and I saw artificial lures only, but you do allow pork rinds and strips of pork. Please explain to me the pork rinds and the strips of pork that are allowed.
First of all,
in KSS, it's
not really pork rinds; it's pork chunk. Okay,
and chunk. Pork sorry, chunk
is basically been was the first ever mass produced to like artificial lure, but they use natural material to soak in a scent or something like that you applied to a bait. But the easiest answer to your question is that anybody that doesn't like pork rinds is communist, and we're not communists. So pretty much that's the answer. So pork rinds is the only natural bait that we
suck
allow.
It, commies.
But yeah, that's because we're not communists. That's why everybody that fishes for the most part has got a little country in them, and everybody country likes a little pork rind. So, you know, and here's the thing. The pork rind ain't that big of an advantage anymore because there's so many artificial things now that are actually better than that with pheromones and all the other enzymes and the stuff that Berkeley power baits are now better than pork rinds are. So it's a carryover from the saltwater, from the freshwater side, because the pork chunk trailer is like a staple of bass fishing. So that's why. And unless you're communist, you don't dislike pork rinds, you know? So.
All right. So another question we got was about the measuring devices. Which measuring devices can you use?
I'm not exactly sure why this keeps coming up, because we have a thing where you click on acceptable measuring devices and it lists them.
And so, I can tell you exactly why, because people don't click on stuff. They just want to ask the question and go about their business. They don't read. That's why we have a podcast.
Did you guys have like 3 million listeners and about 450,000 downloads the first night? I just want to say, read, people. It takes you longer to post a question than it does to look up the answer yourself. So we actually have a table of contents that's hypertext link. I wonder what measuring devices is under. Measuring devices. I wonder what that's under. I wonder where I could find acceptable measuring devices. You know what it is? It's in redneck. We write our whole rules in redneck. So if you ask yourself, I wonder what's acceptable for measuring. If you just search measuring device, you'll find it. But if you go to the table of contents, it says acceptable measuring device, and you click on it, and it tells you what they are. But I've had people screenshot it and say, hey, I clicked on acceptable measuring device, and it doesn't show the golden rule. Is the golden rule acceptable? Like, you answered your own question. So the answer to that is no. So primarily, the catch board is our preferred board. At some point, we will be going exclusively to catch boards. Right now, there's just so many people over the years that have bought and invested in hog troughs that we don't want them to be forced to, you know, buy a new board right out of the gate. And let's face it, you're only going to use your hog trough 6 more months and it's going to break anyway, and then you're going to need a new one. So
that's I've managed to stretch one out for a while, but yeah, 6 months is sometimes the limit.
Yeah, 6 months or 5 tournaments. And so the catch and the hog trough are the two primary ones. Now, we allowed the Yak Gear board for a while, but there just kept being so many problems with the flexing. And we talked to the owner, and there was supposed to be a change made. That change was made, but then they started putting the accepted for tournaments on both boards. And so we're going to be moving away from that board this year.
So have you at all, I haven't looked to see what's listed there. I'm sure Drew has, but
there's pictures.
Is the check and stick on there?
Of it there.
Like this, no, check and stick is not on
there. Check and stick is not on there.
No.
Oh, man. No. Damn. No. That is one hell of a stick for saltwater, man.
Yeah, but it's so easy to modify because it's a decal. It's also so easy to modify.
I got you. I got
it flexes
you. You want the molded.
Easy. It flexes molded. Super easy. Yeah.
I'm going to have to order me a catch stick.
Yeah,
then.
Catch board. You get a KBF discount as a member. If you download the Fishing Chaos app, which we're using for saltwater this year and a lot of our freshwater stuff, they have a discount. You get a $20 gift card from them for Fish USA. Fish USA carries it. You get a 25. Here's what's cool about our membership. You join for $25. You get a $25 gift certificate from Fish USA when you join. So the ambassador membership that you need to fish the challenges pays for itself. And the premium membership, which you need to compete in the AOI events, the live events, the national championship, the 10, that's a $50 membership on the freshwater side. We added $5 to all the saltwater.
I think it's 55 bucks on the saltwater side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we added $5, and I put this out to the first, 150 people that were on the group that I wanted to add $5 to all the saltwater memberships except the free membership, to donate $5 to the chair, to the CCA from the state that you join. And it was literally 100% of the people were like, heck yeah. So we did that. What that's going to do is that's going to allow us to work with those stewardship organizations, those CCA chapters, to help open up doors for us as kayak anglers. And when you start to contribute to organizations that have leverage, that do, political action stuff, then it really protects your interests. So that's the least I felt we could do out of the gate. We've been heavily involved in that stuff on the freshwater side, kind of protecting kayak anglers' rights. A lot of people don't realize this, but when you buy a fishing license, there's a certain percentage of your fishing license that goes to what's called the general fund. That general fund is designed to maintain, build, improve boat ramps and access and educational programs and things along those lines. Well, when you buy a fishing license as a kayak angler, you've contributed exactly the same amount to the general fund as the boat angler who's using that boat ramp. So you should have just as much access. You should be catered to. We've lobbied for paddle angler access, either separate or at the location, so we can avoid traffic and back, and boat trailers backing down and things like that successfully. In Texas, we've done it in Virginia. We've done it in Tennessee. And those are the things that we probably should do a better job of advertising. And that's going to be the plan you know, moving forward is to do a better job of saying, this is how much money went into this project. This is what it led to. This is how many, you know, anglers it allowed access to. I'll tell you straight up, there was an argument over one of them here in Tennessee. And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but it's, and I'm not even going to say where it was because it'd be relatively easy to find out. And my suggestion was, well, your TWRA, most of us are hunters and most of that are fishermen and fishermen are hunters. Why don't you just put a trail camera up at the launch and then you can basically see how many people come and go. And then at the end of the year, if it's not worth it, then close it. But I think you're going to be surprised. And they put the trail camera up and was like, holy crap. And then that was the justification for figuring out what they needed to do to keep that access open. But I'd like to do things like, you know, put up trail cameras across the country at canoe and kayak only accesses so that we can know how many people are going and coming. If we ever have an angler that's lost, I'd love to have network trail cameras to where I could say, all right, let me pull up the network and see where that angler launched right here. Now we know where to start looking for them. The app tells you where they caught their fish. Now we know where to start looking for them. All of those things that we can do to contribute to safety also allows me to have the voice and the leverage to fight BS restrictions and arbitrary restrictions that get imposed upon us. And, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to be the NRA of kayak fishing, but that's the goal, is to be pretty damn close to where we protect our rights and our interests because we're counted. When we're all fragmented into these small little groups, it's very hard when it comes time to say how many of there are us, are there, how many of us are there. But if we can grow a group and unite and say, this is our numbers, we are counted, then we've got a lot more leverage. We've got a lot more opportunity and we've got the ability to have our rights protected. There's already lakes in Oklahoma that have restrictions on kayaks that you can't launch until 30 minutes after sunrise. And you can't be on the water 30 minutes after sunset, you have to be off the water and you can never be more than 150 feet off the bank.
This is a law?
That's a law.
Where?
Oklahoma. All of the
Grand River Texas.
All of the GRDA lakes. But here's what happened. The Grand River Dam Authority talked to some fishermen and they said, man, we can't stand these dang kayakers out here in these channels, man. We're going to run one of them over. So they listened to who they heard and they made a rule. Then they dig their heels in and they want to fight for it because they've already conceded to that one group. So they don't want to go back and fight that group to hear this other group. So it's best that we keep our finger to the, you know, to the pulse. We keep our ear to the rail and we know when these kind of things are happening so we can step up before they become rules.
Before the reins are handed over.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also want to fight for access. I think that there should be a heck of a lot more access for paddle anglers. You know, when they go do a budget to build a boat ramp, they got to do an economic impact study, fuel runoff. How is that abated? You know, what is the amount of land that needs to be donated? How much parking do you have to have? Parkings for trailers? How many trash cans? How many restroom facilities? For most of us, we need a damn spot to park and a spot to slide the kayak in the water. We could build a ramp for the land and the access. And in a lot of cases, you can get the land donated. I've been in some pretty high-level conversations with Alabama Power and Georgia Power and some of those agencies where they go, hey, we have all this land. We've never given access because we didn't want the bass boats to rut up the bank, back in the boats in and out, causing erosion. And we're like, well, what if we came in and built an access and the kayak anglers through the general fund secured the funding to put riprap there to keep it from eroding, but we did manual launch and recovery. And they're like, hell yeah. And so those balls are all rolling. In the background, I don't want to reinvent that wheel. Every time I lived coastal, I was involved in CCA heavily. I'm still a member of CCA in a couple of states just because I did the auto renew thing and it just comes out every year. And I feel like it's going to a good cause and I still fish those states, you know, pretty heavily. So we just made that commitment early on. But what we've done also is right out of the gate, we've committed to the $10,000 for the marquee event. It's not the highest payout, but in my opinion, it is the coolest concept that we have at KBF and you know, arguably one of the coolest in kayak fishing. You take 10 guys or gals or guys and gals or whatever you identify as. And then we
except for communists. We don't take communists.
What we do is we put them in a house for three days.
If you're eating pork rinds, you're likely identifying as a male or a female.
Have a nice dinner the night before, and then they fish hard for 2 days. We feed them every day. Their lodging is taken care of. Their meals are taken care of, and they have a cool experience, and they fish for 10 fish for 2 days for a guaranteed $10,000 payout.
That's awesome, man. So, guys, basically, if you're really paying attention here, what you've noticed is that Chad has got his heels dug in. And this isn't just something that started overnight. The dude's been doing it for a really long time. I think most of us that probably started kayaking somewhere around, you know, 2005, 2006, probably started to see a lot of Chad Hoover's, social media, whether it be YouTube. And what was that channel again, that YouTube channel?
Chad Not Hoover. Right. It used to be Kayak Bass and TV.
I thought it was called Not Right.
Yeah, it used to be Not Right, yeah.
Not Right, because he ain't right, guys.
Yeah.
But I think we've got one more listener question that we need to answer. Drew, what was that one?
Well, you were talking about being members of CCA, being a member of CCA in various states. Some people were asking if they live on the border, they fish both states.
Yes.
Do they have to pay both states entry fee? How does that work if you're, say, fishing Texas, Louisiana, or South Carolina, North Carolina?
It's not per entry fee. The way we do it is we pay you pay the membership. We added $5 to it. Now, one thing that we're doing this year differently than we've done in years past is we're actually offering a free membership. You know, I'm a big fan of telling people for kayak fishing, you should try before you buy. Well, why not try before you buy with KSS or with KBF? And you get a free membership. I mean, honestly, what you get is you get access to the members only page to see what we're all about. You get to peek behind the curtain. You get a decal. So I'm making $5 commitment per angler for free to say, I'll give you this commitment first, under the hopes that ultimately you join. And I've got a huge commitment from Fish USA to give us those gift cards, that $25 and $35 gift card. I just got Dakota Lithium to give us a $10 or 10% discount for both sides. I've got Yak Attack is doing something. Before it's all said and done, I want the membership to be a 4, 5, 6 to 1, you know, return on investment for what you pay for it, to the point to where even potentially guys buy it or gals buy it that don't even kayak fish because of the benefits. And then we'll use that money to help, you know, invest and grow in the community. But to answer the exact question, it's the states you register from. So if you're a resident of Texas and you become a member, we're going to count you and donate that $5 to the Texas CCA.
So are there any additional funds that you need? I don't think it was just the CCA question, right, Drew? It was more along the lines of, if you purchase your membership and you fish in the tournament, do you have to pay additional funds if you go and fish in another state?
Yeah, for the angler of the year. That's what it was. It's for the angler of the year
for the state. Here's how it works. When you join the Atlantic Division, you get one state, which is usually your home state, that you select as your is included in your purchase price of that entry fee. Now, if you live on the border and you want to fish both states, then you have to pay that second entry fee for that second state, because we are doing angler of the year for each state. And because we're doing angler of the year for each state, theoretically, Lewis Anderson posted a question on our page and said, hey, I fish Alabama and Florida. Could I, in theory, win angler of the year for Alabama and Florida? I said, absolutely, you could. If you pay a monthly entry fee for each one each month and your top three adds up to better than anybody else's, then you absolutely could, you know? So you get one when you pay your base entry fee for Atlantic or Gulf Division. But because everybody wanted to have further recognition, oh, I can't compete with Louisiana because I live in Mississippi. I can't compete with Florida because I live in, you know, South Carolina or whatever. We decided to start recognizing a state-level AOI. Now, we're not doing a separate payout per state yet, but we are counting each individual state. But if you pay two entry fees, you literally have two chances to win, if that makes sense. So realistically, if you're wanting to fish angler of the year for two states and you buy into for two states, if you're not interested in that second angler of the year title, then just pay your entry fee, select the state that you're fishing in so that we can count where the anglers are from, and then that's it.
What kind of cost are we looking at for these monthly challenges?
So we wanted to keep them below $50. So the way we did it is we added the admin fee and the championship holdback and the processing fee. So basically the admin fee, I think we do $1.50 for KBF to cover our judging, our administrative costs. You know, basically that doesn't cover our administrative costs, but to help cover our administrative costs because we were losing our butt on that on the KBF side. So we implemented that this year with COVID. And then there's an $8 holdback that builds the championship. 100% of that goes to the championship at the end of the year. And then $35 of every entry goes into the pot to be paid out 100%. So basically everything's transparent. It's laid out on the page. It's $46 to enter. So $3 of that is $1.50 admin and processing, which is PayPal or Google Pay or Stripe or Bold or whatever processing system you happen to use. And then it's $1.50 KBF admin. If you are a KSS subscriber, I mean a Fishing Chaos subscriber, you pay $43 for the year or $3.99 a month, and it's unlimited tournaments. If you're not a member and you say, man, I only want to fish one tournament, you don't pay your KSS subscription. I mean, your Fishing Chaos subscription, and that'll be added to your payout, your price at checkout. So if you're a KBF member and you subscribe to Fishing Chaos for a freshwater tournament, then you pay $46. If you're not a member and you fish KSS or KBF and you enter the event, you're going to pay the entry fee plus the $3.15, I believe, is their fee per angler per tournament. But again, if you're going to fish more than four tournaments or five tournaments a year, it pretty much pays for itself, because when you subscribe to Fishing Chaos for the year, you also get another $20 gift certificate back to Fish USA. So if you do the two combined, and I don't get anything back from Fishing Chaos, but if you do the two combined, you get $55 in gift cards to Fish USA right out of the gate, which, by the way, right now, for Fish USA to be a saltwater sponsor, I twisted their arm behind their back, and they had to commit to doing 5,000 SKUs by March and 10,000 SKUs by the end of next year, and they committed to it. So it's going to be one of the better saltwater fishing stores online anywhere. Literally, I'm wearing their hoodie right now and their hat. I love Fish USA. They were literally, I had never heard of them when I went to a show and ran into the Fish USA thing. And I was like, hey, what's Fish USA? I thought it was like a clothing brand, you know? You know, because this day and time, there's a new clothing brand popping up on Instagram like every 17 minutes. And they're like, oh, no, we're a retail store out of Erie, Pennsylvania, focused mostly on trout and salmon and Great Lakes species, smallmouth, musky, things like that. But we want to get into bass and kayak fishing. So we exchanged information. And, you know, as they say, we ended up doing a really good sponsorship deal with them, and the rest is history. And they've invested heavily in kayak fishing because, I mean, we have 3,700 paid sponsors or paid members on the KBF side at the premium level, and almost 40,000 members. And so they give a discount to every KBF member, and they give a gift card to every KBF premium member. So they put in almost $100,000 in upfront commitment to this, you know, growing this sport and helping us grow this sport. And so to me, becoming a member, helping us get our numbers counted, helping us put this thing together, helping us grow both sides and continue to kind of knock down doors, is a no-brainer to invest in the future of the sport, you know?
And again, what was the cost? Because I missed it. But what was the cost for every tournament the whole year? You just want to pay up front for all the challenges, get everything. You just want to write one check. Maybe it's your Christmas present or something.
$43 for the Chaos subscription. And it's $50 KBF and $55 KSS for the premium. You get six decals, which are $5 a piece, and a $35 gift certificate at the premium level, and you get four decals and a $25 gift certificate at the $25 level. And here's what's cool about those decals. We're going to use those decals, and the reason we gave out more decals this year than before is I came up with a concept last year called KBF Mob, which stands for Members Only Benefits, but I'm going to tell the mob to post those pictures somewhere and use certain hashtags, and we're going to do exclusive monthly giveaways of thousands of dollars in prizes. And I'm going to do that exact same thing on the KSS side. So we'll have a KSS mob as well. And so free gets you a decal and access, and you can fish the free tournaments. And then 25 gets you access to only the online challenges. And then the $50 and $55 membership on the saltwater side gets you access to everything. Championships, AOI standings, eligibility for the national championship, eligibility for the 10.
I don't know about you, Drew, but this sounds like something you could definitely, even you, sir, can participate in.
And, this is very true.
And
this
possibly even and end up at the top, especially if you can. He does these no hold bars events. You know, Drew will do well in no holds bar. You know, that means he can get his cast net out and get some.
Look, bro. Last time we went, you were the one fishing bait and buying your 2 dozen shrimp, and I didn't bring.
And what happened to me? I caught a damn stingray.
Yeah, you did. Well,
stingray since I was 8 years old, man.
Maybe we should have like a cast net pro am. One guy and one guy gets to carry the cast net. You know what I mean?
There you go. So what kind of things are you looking for to do in the future? You talked about, right now we're just talking about redfish. Redfish, yeah. It's not like the bass world. There's other game fish out there that people love to target. There's trout. There's flounder. Are there, you know, are you in the works or thinking about, are you thinking about doing, you know, more challenges with trout, flounder, and stuff like that in the future? And if I know you can't tell the future, but how far out until we see stuff like that coming in? Because I would love to see a flounder challenge.
I'd love to see another boondoggle.
So you're going to see KESS rallies, which will be the boondoggles here this year coming up. There'll be at least one on the saltwater side. And there's going to be two on the freshwater side. One in Kissimmee, Florida. One in South Carolina. One in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So actually potentially three. And then Gulf Shores, Alabama, for the at least one redfish one next year.
The
trout thing will be, I'm actually proposing a tournament right now, or a challenge right now, called the One Rod, One Lure, One Red tournament. But in that tournament, there is a trout side pot and a flounder side pot. And then there's also a slam side pot. So you can buy into just doing the basic tournament, which would be like $10, or you could buy into the trout side pot, the flounder side pot, and the slam side pot. And then each of those are going to be $15. So when it's all said and done, you know, it'll be $55. And we're going to put like $10 of that towards operating costs for KSS and use it as a fundraiser type event. But that's coming relatively soon. That's going to allow us to work with lure sponsors and things like that to do a featured event for that company. And then potentially get them to kick in some money and some prize packs so we can raise the bar much quicker than we did on the KBF side. I plan on doing a trout shootout at some point where it's just speckled trout. That's just a one-off. It's not part of an AOI series or anything like that, because big trout are really less distributed than, say, you know, you can be more competitive with redfish from Texas all the way to Delaware than you can with trout. You got some trout, you know, monster holes with Calcasieu and Galveston and
Matagorda,
Baffin Bay, Matagorda, you know, parts of Florida around the Big Bend area, and then things like that where you don't have those big, you know, speckled trout in, say, Mississippi as easily catchable. You don't have as many in South Carolina. You can catch a lot in South Carolina, just not the big gators. So we'll do some trout shootouts. We'll do some flounder-only events. Really working hard to get my hands around how to run striper events, just because they're so big, they're hard to photograph. So we'll probably do a slot, just like we're doing with redfish. But we'll be doing some slams up in the Northeast with striper, weakfish, and fluke, which is their cross-eyed flounder that they have in the Northeast. And so already getting a lot of feedback from the West Coast. Are you going to do calico bass? Are you going to do spotted bay bass? Are you going to do... So what I'm excited about with the saltwater is we can do it all, right? And down the road, we're going to do the same thing on the freshwater side. There will be a kayak crappie fishing series. There will be a kayak walleye series. They're already...
Wait, you mean Sakale?
There is a, yeah, Soccer Life. If I said Soccer Life, for most of the people that listen to this, they wouldn't even know what the heck we're talking about. But yeah.
Oh, they would know. Chris brings it up about every three episodes because he's from Louisiana too.
Yeah, I say crappy or white. We call them white perch in the part of Louisiana I'm from. But every time the coon asses are around, everybody calls them Sokola, you know.
There's your coon ass right there. There's the coon ass that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, man,
And I want to do some stuff like selfish shootouts and kingfish derbies. And
it's all, you know, out there, man. It's ready for you to grab. It's ready for you to grab a hold of. And I think, you know, Drew will agree with me. I think you're doing a damn good job bringing it back to the saltwater thing. It's something that's been missing for a long time. I know 2 years ago, you know, in 2019, there were a lot of people that were involved with it, you know, just getting it started, getting it off the ground. But now separating it, I think, was the best thing that you could possibly do, is not calling it KBF saltwater, but KSS, giving it its own identity, is really going to help it move further down the line. I'll be involved. I know Drew's going to be involved. There's a lot of our listeners that are going to be involved. It's going to be a good time, man. I'm looking forward to it.
So speaking of new opportunities, I did want to say we just released a tournament yesterday that is going to kick off December 1st as well. It's the Livingston Lures Saltwater Shootout. It's free to enter. If you win it, it's $1,000. If you win it with a Livingston Lures, it's $1,500. There's a $100 Livingston Lure prize package for the highest placing angler in each state. If you're a Fishing Chaos subscriber and a KBF subscriber and you win with the Livingston Lures, I'm going to give away a KBF lifetime membership. And we're going to launch the KSS lifetime membership. We don't have lifetime memberships anymore. We're going to do some limited runs where we say the lifetime membership is available, but it's only available for 1 month or 20 spots, whichever happens first. And we're going to do the same thing on the KSS side. But I will literally be giving away the first member 001 with a coin, lifetime member with the serial number on the back of it, the whole nine, to the person that wins that event. They will be the number one first ever
awesome
KSS lifetime member. And that's a $650 value with what we have it priced at right now. I think I'm going to raise that just because people don't realize how much it costs to send these packages out and to pay for insurance and all these other things. So there's a real value with those lifetime members. And I've seen organizations like the NRA, Ducks Unlimited, North American Fishermen, North American Hunters get in trouble with having too many, you know, lifetime members, and it caused problems down the road. So I was very sensitive to that, you know, right out of the gate with KBF and also again with KSS. But that tournament has a trout side pot, and it's going to have a flounder side pot, but you can also catch one fish that's oversized. So it's a four fish slot, and the fifth fish, if it's over 27 inches, you get the actual length up to 32 inches. And after 32 inches, if you catch a 44 incher, you get 32 inches. If you catch a 48 incher, you get 32 inches. So it's a slot and one oversized, and we're going to see how that works. But we've already gotten enough sponsorship interest just from word of mouth that we're launching that tournament. Again, no entry fee, $1,000, $100 per state in Livingston Lures prize packages. And if you don't think those guys have saltwater lures, go check out that wake bait they make. And then they have a fat wake bait and a little bit more elongated wake bait. That thing is by far one of the most deadly saltwater lures for redfish specs on the planet. You know what I'm saying? It just is. And then we're going to do the one rod, one lure, one red kind of concept, probably kicking off sometime in January. So there's going to be a lot of little side things that we do just for fun, or we're going to do some things that are for bigger money. You know, we've already got one tournament that we're going to have $50,000 guaranteed invested in the pot, and the entry fee is going to be super low, and we're going to market the hell out of it, and it's going to be a monster.
Well, you had me on free and flounder. That's where you had my attention. Free and flounder, man. Now, I love
have a gig mark in the side of their head, just so you know. They can't have a puncture wound right behind their eyeball or their gill plate. You know what I'm saying?
We'll make sure that It's right there in the corner of their mouth. Well, Chris, did you have any more questions, man?
Man, I could talk all day long about this stuff. You know, it kind of gets me a little excited. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to some more questions from our listeners, and we can peddle those, kick them on down the road to Chad if we need to.
Yeah, because obviously we're going to have to do part two of this. Relatively
oh, hell yeah. After actually, I wanted to do a Who's Chad Hoover episode.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know what? We could go out there and we can dig up a bunch of information on Chad Hoover, but why not just put it all out on the silver platter for everybody to hear? So we're going to have to do that again some other time.
I'm down for that.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan. Well, Chad, did you have anything that you wanted to end with other than telling people to go to the Facebook page, KSS, get over there to Fishing Chaos and register there? You know, anything you want to end with?
Well, I want to start by thanking you guys for having me on board, man. Drew sent me like 752 unanswered texts before I finally committed.
He knows how to spam.
I sent one.
I just want to say this. It was literally one of the easiest setups and communications that I've had. We're filming this thing on a Sunday, which is awesome. Sunday evening. The week before Thanksgiving. So the people that are watching this or listening to this later, we have the Kayak Saltwater Series website under construction right now. If you go to the link, you will see the under construction page and a little bit of what we're doing. We're hoping to have that up and running the weekend after Thanksgiving. So right before the December 1st events kick off.
That's right. When this is going to air is the week after Thanksgiving, this will air. Perfect.
So we're putting up all of the website stuff as fast as we can. We're putting up the, in fact, we delayed the KBF website relaunch and put the KSS website launch ahead of it because we're revamping the KBF website as well. And then we're going to have all the challenges for next season up, loaded, and ready to go on Fishing Chaos probably the second week of December. And then we're just going to start adding additional tournaments to it, these one-offs like the Livingston Lures, Saltwater Shootout. We've got some sponsors that we're talking to that want to do some cool and juicy stuff. And I'm just excited about the fact that there's more opportunity available for kayak anglers now than there's ever been in the history of our sport. And to be able to say that coming out of one of the most backwards, upside down, you know, bizarro, you know,
crazy years,
in the history of the world is definitely something for all of us to be proud of as a community.
I like it.
So thank you guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you having coming on. We hope we got some information out to our listeners. We hope you guys have learned a little more about KSS today. We got some backstory on Chad Hoover. I mean, I don't know too many people that knew that he was a saltwater guy before. Before we came on, he told us how to catch 32-inch, 40-inch speckled trout. So we're going to hit those holes that he was telling us. We're going to hit those holes that he was telling us whenever that tournament or that challenge rolls around. But again, Chad, thanks for joining us. Row staff, we're going to get out of here.
Thank you, man. Appreciate y'all. Have a good night.
See you.